Mark Shapiro, president of the Jays, I'm assuming has been on the phone 20 hours out of the day. Mark, welcome back to the show. Normally, I have some kind of light, smart-ass way to start this. I don't. What's the latest? Yeah. I know you scrummed with the media 2 or 3 hours ago. Have you heard anything back from the Canadian government in between that time?
Yeah, I don't have any smart comments to make because I am literally running on fumes. No, I mean, I think it's still a fluid process that we've been, while we've been in contact, you know, for 8 weeks, we really only were able to make a formal ask in the past week once there was a deal done with the union. So, and initially that was focused on playing our regular season games. We think it's extremely important, even without fans in the stadium, to play on Canadian soil. You know, the optics of playing, being the only major league team not playing in their stadium and playing in another state and country is not one that we want. So that was where our efforts were focused. We've always received a ton of support, particularly from Mayor Tory and Premier Ford, but we've also always been deferential to public health. I mean, Canada, Toronto, Ontario have handled the pandemic at such an incredible level with such strong leadership that, you know, we have made the ask, but also worked to respect the guidelines in place. And that's a fluid process. We're working, you know, with three different public health entities in order to satisfy all their concerns, not just with MLB's health protocol, which is over a 105-page document, but also with the realities of the quarantine and the border issues. You know, I feel optimistic, but we're planning on two fronts, and sometime over the weekend, we're going to have to make a decision whether we begin training in Dunedin or move our players to begin training in Rogers Center.
Is best case scenario, given what we're all watching Florida very closely right now, and they've hit a new high again today, I'm sure I don't have to tell you, but is best case scenario for you both training camp and home games in Toronto?
For multiple reasons, it's better to get one place and stay one place, not to move twice. You know, obviously, the conditions here are much better than Florida, but I don't want to single out Florida. I mean, 21 U.S. states, it's spiked. You know, it's an issue in California. It's an issue in Arizona. It's an issue in Texas, as well as numerous other states. And it's going to be something we all have to contend with. And I hope it's an important kind of backdrop and lesson kind of for us as we move to stage two and patios and things that happen here that, you know, the pandemic is real. It's universal. It's not isolated to any one country, any one industry. You know, we're all impacted by it and we're all doing the best we can to manage and, you know, have strong positive lives around it while still being respectful that it disproportionately impacts a lot of people. And that's something that is very much in our windshield as we're moving forward.
Mark Shapiro, Jays president here on Tim and Sid. Mark, if it becomes a point at some point this weekend where Rogers Center is not an option, have you had staff and players communicate to you they're not comfortable with Florida right now? They're not comfortable with Dunedin? Have those conversations taken place?
Of course. I mean, we've had open dialogue. Ross had a Zoom call with 70, you know, a group of 70 of our players and staff last night. And, you know, there's still teams that are going to be practicing and training in Florida, the teams that are based in Florida, but the teams that are going to Arizona aren't that comfortable. And it's, I mean, if anyone's seeking comfort, you know, this is, comfort is not what we're doing. We are, you know, facing a large logistical challenge in order to play the game that we all love for the fans that love the game in circumstances that are not ideal and that will require an unbelievable amount of diligence, collaboration, cooperation, and disciplined, you know, attention to detail.
Yesterday we were chatting with our guy Jeff Passan, and he was talking about some really high hurdles that baseball has to clear in order to just get this thing going. Do you worry that this season might not be played at all?
I worry about the magnitude of the challenge, Tim, but I think that the opportunity to return the game, and I think I just reflect on how much I miss it, man. Like, it's been painful. Like the past 2 months, the ups and downs, the uncertainty, the, you know, watching the business side of it play out, which is something I wish we could wall off, you know, completely from fans, is just so excruciating at times. But in the end, like when we finally reach that moment that we reach an agreement, regardless of how we got there, a schedule was being worked on and we were moving forward with the logistics of planning and playing baseball. At that moment for me, it was like, okay, baseball can play a role in providing a lift, you know, an emotional and spiritual lift for people. It can provide a distraction. It can provide a path to, you know, some sense of normalcy. And, you know, and I just want to see the game play because the game is bigger than that business issue. The game is bigger than, you know, even then it's going to far outlast the pandemic, and it's bigger than any one individual player, person, you know, executive or anything else. And so the beauty of the game, you know, the joy of the game that it brings to the fans that love it, even casual sports fans in a world where we're, you know, missing sports in general, I think is worth the effort and some of the potential challenges that we're going to face along the way.
Jays president Mark Shapiro here on Tim and Sid. So, Mark, is Buffalo off the table? Is that an option in any way?
Yeah, Buffalo was never, you know, listen, we explored a host of scenarios and a host of options from Buffalo and many others as well. And in the end, both the size of the imprint of the stadium, the size of the facility, it just came down to, even with the challenges in Florida, our ability to orchestrate, conduct, run a safe, you know, controlled training in a first-class facility down there far outweighed trying to figure out how to fit 60 players and staff into, you know, a AAA facility. Buffalo still will likely play a role in the taxi squad, which, you know, Ross will update when he talks next week, but not for the training scenario. Our training scenarios are either Toronto or Dunedin, no others.
Mark Shapiro joining us here on Tim and Sid. We heard reports about multiple positive tests leading to the shutdown of the facility and then the subsequent testing. Do you want to specify the number of people, and do you know what the go forward is if you have to shut that facility down again?
No, I mean, I think it's not isolated to us. I mean, unless you're only reading the Toronto news, it's pretty much, you know, every team at this point. The Dodgers came out today, and I think the expectation should be, just like when you test, if you were to universally test, you know, every person across the GTA, you know, you would get an enormous number of positives spiking in a way that we never expect. So our intake process involves testing every single player and staff person multiple times. We're going to get a lot more positive tests. You can just write that down. That's 100%. But that's part of the process of us establishing, you know, what we hope will be a largely closed environment to conduct our training, and then, you know, moving forward in a way where the players are well educated. And I think one of the more encouraging things to me is across staff and players, you know, the understanding, hearing our young players express, listen, I'm going to make sure I do not, you know, I control everything I can control not to get the virus, because if I do, I'm going to miss 2 to 3 weeks of the season, which is, you know, almost half, you know, our entire season. And I want to play one, and I want to win too. So I, you know, one of the interesting themes that is evolving here is the team that stays the healthiest and is the most diligent about health protocol probably has the largest competitive advantage in a 60 game season with a pandemic going on in the background.
That the point you just made though, Mark, about guys telling both their teammates, you and themselves, I'm not going to mess this up because I can't miss X amount of time. I mean, we were talking to Passan yesterday, and he was making the similar point. The amount of accountability that's going to go on in these rooms to each other to not do stupid things, and God willing, baseball gets off the runway and the plane leaves, is going to be enormous. Like, you're going to see, you have a really young team, and I know you have a feeling who your real leaders are. I think you're going to get a real feel, Mark, of who your leaders are in this type of situation.
I think we're already, in the conversations that Ross is having and we're having, we're already getting a pretty good sense. It's a little bit of an affirmation of what we already knew. Gosh knows I don't want to look back at the rearview mirror of myself at 23, 24 years old, and certainly don't want that. I'm certainly glad social media has not frozen any of that, any of those clips in place. But yeah, these guys are going to be asked to conduct themselves. The stakes are going to be extremely high, and it is a logistical challenge. I am not downplaying the magnitude of it. I just feel like the effort is worth it. You know, like I don't want to throw in the towel and just, you know, say the season can't happen. We all understand what we're walking into, as much as we've understood anything over the past 2 months, which is maybe not that great, but we're going to continue to do everything we can to control what we can control. And the more we understand and read, the more we do understand that if you are responsible, if you do respect social distancing, if you do wear, you know, a mask and you do wear proper protection, if we do everything we can to kind of isolate different segments of our playing population, and we do travel in a certain way, that we can minimize the risk. We can't get rid of the risk, but we certainly can minimize it.
There's a follow-up there, because I know that everything has changed and we're all doing things that we've never done before. I've never researched hospitalization rates. I can't even say hospitalization rates. I've never researched it before. I've never talked to as many doctors as I've talked to in the last little while. The one question that I have is, from your understanding from Major League Baseball, is the information around the virus is changing. We're learning more. Doctors are learning more. Studies are coming in. Will the return to play crafted by the league and the Players Association adjust with that information, or is that set in stone now?
Well, I think it'd be foolish. I can't give you an official answer to that.
Right.
But everything I've been exposed to has been, we are taking up-to-the-minute information, we are adapting, and we're looking to minimize risk, you know, at every turn possible. The protocols put in place as a baseline, a testing baseline, a travel baseline, a walling off of the mixing of the different people that are going to be involved in producing a game from the playing population. But in the end, we're all stakeholders. We all want to play, every single one of us. We all want to win. And I think you're going to see everybody doing everything they humanly can to minimize risk in order to play the games and win the games.
Mark Shapiro, Jays president here on Tim and Sid. Mark, have you seen a schedule? Does it exist? Are you happy with it?
Yeah,
where
so
would you open, et cetera?
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, we're not allowed to, you know, because it's
fair
still
enough.
A draft, I'm not allowed to
fair
comment
enough
on that. But it's, but I think it's been well documented that we're going to play the, you know, listen, our schedule is going to be tough. Our schedule is always tough. We're in the AL East. So we're going to play within our division, and we're going to play the NL East. And that's it. There's no surprises coming. It'll just be where and when and how and number of games against which NL East teams that'll be a little bit of intrigue. But we're going to have to play well. We're going to have to play good. We're in the best division in Major League Baseball. We are every year. And I think that challenge, whether it's 60 games or 162 games, that challenge exists.
All right, let's talk a little baseball here. What do you think the big adjustment you think your team will have to make in order to succeed in a 60-game schedule?
Stay healthy. I mean, I know I'm being redundant, but, you know, we're in such a good spot. I mean, I talked to you guys about it. I think right when I got back from spring training, it was the most heartbreaking, you know, component of ending. From a level of the belief our guys had in each other and in their ability and in their potential to, you know, how our players were looking on the field. You know, I think, you know, getting back into that shape and into that spot, understanding just where we are, because we still don't have a complete understanding of kind of level of preparedness and where our guys are. But
right.
Besides that, I really do believe that, you know, the ability to be the healthiest team, stay the healthiest, avoid not just the virus, but injuries, you know, are going to be the determining factor, because in a short season, having to rely on that next tier of players down is going to impact every team dramatically, regardless of how good they are.
Mark, I'm just trying to picture your guys and what that room would be like if you get off to like a 10-2 start. Like that, there would be an electricity. I mean, you tell me, you know them better than I. Like, they seem like a crew that could feed off some momentum.
Absolutely. I mean, they're young, right? So I think that kind of start would be an affirmation of what they already think, which is don't overlook us. You know, hey, like, you guys are all talking about the Jays are coming in 21, the Jays are coming in 22. You know, these guys aren't on that calendar. They have a different time frame, and I think they're excited to play to kind of start to demonstrate that their time frame is different.
Hey, I just saw on MLB.com five teams that could make some noise. They put the Blue Jays on there. Any surprises to look for on your 60-man list that's due on Sunday?
No, I mean, I think there's still a lot. We're still walking through that a lot. I think it's the first hurdle is to determine in a very uncertain environment just how much major league depth we need. It certainly would not be 60, but, you know, it may be 50, it may be 52, it could be 48, but it's going to be a lot of players just to protect ourselves for the worst case scenario. And then after that, it's how do we utilize those other 6, 8, 10, 12, whatever spots, you know, for prospects in order to have a unique development opportunity and maybe even have guys that contribute at some point in some way. But I will tell you that, you can probably hear it in my gravelly voice and the fact that I haven't been sleeping. My time's been spent with public health, government bodies, logistics, and Ross, Joe Shee, and Mike Murov, and, you know, the rest of our baseball operations staff. I've been poring over the roster trying to figure out, you know, just how to best comprise that roster.
I can hear it in your voice, and I have two more questions, and I'm a D-bag if I ask them because you're exhausted. So with your permission, can I ask you two more questions before we let you go?
Sure.
Because you've had a day.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. One, is Nate Pearson in the initial group when you break, do you think? And two, where do you stand on the Austin Martin signing situation having fallen fifth overall to you?
Yeah. So Nate obviously was having a great spring. We'll still weigh all the benefits and risks of him you know, breaking with the team or not breaking with the team. It just feels a little premature to answer that. You know, obviously it's easy to say he's going to be in the top 60 players. And then let's just get started again and see where we are, see how everybody's doing, see where everybody's health is, see how, you know, where everybody's form is. I think it's going to be maybe easier for a veteran to get after the level of break these guys have had to get right back into the form they were in March. And Nate may or may not be able to do that quickly, but better question probably in about 10 days, 12 days. And as far as Austin Martin, I mean, all I can tell you is we've had productive conversations that, you know, I'm optimistic we'll sign him. I'm incredibly excited that he fell to us, and I was extremely surprised. So, you know, we felt like he's one of the better players in the draft this year. We feel like he's a player that could be a fast comer to the big leagues. Obviously, you know, he will determine that with his performance, but could mix in right with our young core of players faster than a lot of other guys in the draft could have, and could be a guy that in approach to hitting, style of play, complements our players pretty darn well. So looking forward to getting him signed. Looking forward to see him play some type of baseball before the end of the year, because I think we'll have some camps sometime later in the fall. He's an exciting player and one that all Blue Jays fans should be excited about, and hopefully we'll get that signing wrapped up before the deadline.